Okay. Let's
see how we get on for a little while. I'm not guaranteeing that we'll have answers to your questions. I'll say that as a starter, but and I'm conscious that there'll be a lot of questions. And this, I appreciate that we've got to help people process time change. So, you know, nothing's going to change straight away. And it may not even change in the autumn. It might take a little bit longer. If it takes longer, it'll take longer. But we're just setting our stall out a little bit in terms of what we feel the direction we're going in. So anyway, I want to ask a couple of questions. Meg.
So what would the business look like? Are we meeting every Sunday as a whole church together? And or is it once a month? Or, you know, so what's that? And also our initial communities, what's the expectation? I know there might be extra organic Easter services, but in terms of expectations, how often would you meet as a mission community? And when?
At the moment, the answer is that everything's up for grabs. So, in terms of rhythms, we've got some thoughts as a leadership team in terms of possibly September, possibly January, in the midst of thinking about how we use Sundays. At the moment, I wouldn't want to say it's going to be this or that. Obviously, we've been experimenting a little bit with some on the fourth Sunday. They've been out, as it were, doing. I would imagine that would be the minimum, that a group would be out. But some might be out more than that. Might be two Sundays doing that out as mission communities on a Sunday or on that weekend. It doesn't have to be a Sunday morning. It could be a Saturday afternoon. It could be a Friday evening. Because one of the things that we want to make sure that the rhythms are sustainable, we're busy people, so we're not going to add things in. We're not going to say like... So what we want to do is look at the whole rhythms of the church and see how some of these things will work by changing the rhythm. So the rhythms will change, because to do that we need to fit in iPods and how they will work. So we're not going to add them in and say, right, you know, you need to do this, this and this in 1 week. So we're conscious of time and busyness and how this will work. So the thing I will say to you is that the rhythms will change. They may change from September, or they might change from January. It just depends how we process this as a church over the next 3 to 4 months. That's as probably as much as I can say at the moment.
And to add to that, Meg, the idea is that you're constantly reviewing your rhythms. So what you can set up might last for a season and then it's change, so that we keep reviewing what we're doing and seeing what's working and what isn't.
So, some of the churches that I know where they're a bit further on the journey with these rhythms, there'll be some where some missional communities will be out for three and in for one, and some will be in every Sunday, depending on what their vision is. So there's a lot of flexibility. We want to give people quite a lot of flexibility, but we would, the minimum we'd expect somebody to be in would be at least once a month. Because obviously there's that what we talk about the Sunday, but I think at the moment we're just trying to all be a bit experimental, see how it works, and going around the process. If it's low control, it would be like, well, actually, what is God saying to you as a group of people? Let's test that together, and then if that's what we really think God is saying to you, then we'll give you permission to get and do it, type of thing. You know? As long as you're happy to remain accountable to us as a leadership and be connected at that level of being part of HBC. Another question? Another table?
I'll throw it out. When we were discussing, we definitely didn't get an answer to, was for those that aren't natural at teaching in a missional community, where is teaching going to come into it? Bible study as well, where is our teaching and learning going to come from to take people into, if that makes sense? Because if I'm trying to bypass me because I don't feel like I'm able to teach that person, where do I take them to?
I think there's two answers to that. One is that one of our core values at the centre is to be a place of teaching, equipping and resourcing. So there'll be opportunities within all the rhythms that there'll be time we will do courses, do teaching, and some people might come into that a little bit more than others. Within the missional community, we've got a couple of resources that are really easy and applicable ways of approaching Bible study that actually moves. I'll hear me when I say this, hopefully, right? I don't necessarily want us to be a church that necessarily just does Bible study. I want us to be a church that does Bible study and doing. I want us to be a group of people that take the Bible, and if the Bible says do it, we don't just talk about it. And this is one of the shifts I think that we need to make, is the way that we see Bible study. You know, don't get me wrong, hopefully you know the Word of God is crucial, but I would say one of the issues about fishing on the other side of the boat is that just doing Bible study and without actually applying what you're teaching isn't going to make you a disciple. I think we have to be a little bit careful, maybe need to unpack that a little bit more in another context, but there are resources that will help in the same way that, you know, within life groups there's times when there's Bible study teaching. Part of the up aspect of your, and part of the up and in will be times when you will study the Bible. But I want us to be doing it in a way that is always looking to say, well, what is God saying to me and what am I going to do about it?
I think from other discussions as well, we're talking about is what did the Bible say then as well before we get into the listening to God. So we are getting that balance right. So I think there is a hunger to dig deeper as well as an excitement about I'm going to be held accountable.
And there may be some, you know, part of what your vision and your group that you're in would be to do some of that digging deeper. And there'll be places where you'll do that, and there'll be resources that we can give and people can help. And so a lot of it will determine on what you feel you want to develop in your missional community. So in some senses, it's not so much centralised and saying, right, we're going to, like we have done in the past, like this term, we're all going to follow 1 Peter. Teaching thing. Each group will, you know, will work it through and but provide resources to help you do that as well. So it's not like we're going to leave people having to go and prepare on their own. But so yeah, there is a place for Bible studies, a place, yes. But also within that, we'll part of our core equipping will be about helping people study the Bible as well. And we may do some courses that will be like going deeper or places where we might do that, and depends how we use our rhythms a little bit in terms of what we're thinking about.
Will those be like extra evening times or
possibly, yeah, or we might use Sundays in a different way. Again, it depends, doesn't it? And the thing that I think will shift for us, my hope would be that we'll start seeing new Christians. What would we do as a church if 50 new Christians turned up next week? Brand new Christians. How would we disciple them? I think that's one of the questions that's challenging me in terms of what structures do we have? How do we... So if some of these mission communities start to recognise their people, please start to pray, and they start becoming Christians, it'll change the dynamic straight away, because we'll have to find a way to approach Bible study that they understand, because a lot of them will come with no knowledge of Bible. So, does that make sense? There's a little bit of where it'd be interesting to see what happens, isn't it, if God starts to bring, if we start to do our fishing really well. Any other questions from the table? And these are not, you know, I'm not right or wrong, we're going to, you know, we'll keep processing these questions.
With missional communities, we're trying to, if you need 6 people for the core group, if you've got several small groups at the moment, like we go to a creative group with Susanna, there's a ladies' Bible study, a small group, basically, if you have 6 core, that's basically the entire group. Or then, but would a missional community, can I say, the disparate groups coming together to make a bit bigger body, but not necessarily doing the same thing, but doing, maybe meeting every so often as a community, but then doing various different things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if that's what you think God is saying to you, it's a group of people that you know each other, and you think, well, actually we come together, and maybe twice a month we'll come together as a bigger community. But in other times we might do things in smaller groups. But then that you'll work that rhythm out for you as a group. As long as there's that sense of there's a missional vision holding you together in terms of what you're trying to do, in terms of the outbit, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that can be it can be really broad in terms of we're here to demonstrate our love and the love of God to our friends and neighbours.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get us going, because I think once we get going, I think we'll begin to move, but a little bit at the moment, we're not quite sure. So that's why we'd say we'll have a go at it for 9 months and then we'll review it with you, see what it feels like. Is it working or not?
One of the experiences in the commercial community, which has got a mixture of ages, is that it can be practically quite tricky to have a meaningful up session. I mean, in is easier or easier, out, I'm not quite sure, so, but the up thing, it starts to be like a mini church issue, same issues we have in a big church, having a mission community, and that's just something we that I can't quite see how that would work without being watered down watered out for the adults, but the kids kind of bored because they can't quite connect. So there's like a practical thing there, I just don't know how that works.
I think the only thing I would say from churches that are doing it is how you would meet together within the whole. So it may be actually, in terms of your rhythms as a group, you might once a month all come together, all the kids in, on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday morning. But that actually time would be much more about being out. And then you may say, well, actually, we meet on a Thursday evening with the adults and we'd do more of the up then. Or you might, it depends on your group, you might say, actually, we want to draw our kids in, we're going to work really hard at this, and we'll do something very creative, and we'll engage them in a very creative way, and we'll keep it really short and simple, recognising that actually, that's part of the whole. So we're trying to do that there on a Sunday morning, when we come together, we're going to have a song worship, we're going to have that. So we don't want them to be replicas of the big church, because you put pressure on it. You can't do stuff. You can do things when there's 200 of us that you can't do when there's 20 of you, obviously. And that's one of the challenges, is to make sure you don't just try and do big church in a little context. And again, we can find lots of resources to be creative in that. And also share together where other groups have been doing that. So, depends on expectations, isn't it? So, I know Jen and Mike and the guys at Blake have done some stuff when they've been experimenting with all the kids there. So that's a little bit when we come together and learn from each other. And say, well, are we trying this? Does that work for you? And some groups will be very family dynamic, and some won't. So, but you just have to work that out as your rhythms really within your mission community. But we'll maybe talk more about the expectations. What we will give, again, a lot depends on how we process the point where we have, let's say we have 7 or 8 of these core teams who we feel like are ready to, and then we'll give an opportunity for people to be invited into that, depending on what the vision is. So people will buy into the vision of those. But we'll also do, we've got to talk to some of the life groups that are carrying on, see where they feel out in the journey. So our hope is that there'll be opportunity for everybody to buy into at least one missional community. But we're not quite sure yet how that will work out over the next 4 to 6 months. Got a bit of an idea in our heads how we'll get there, but we're just trying to work that out as a leadership team. Any other questions? A couple more, anybody from this side?
Slightly off the back of that, I'm guessing you probably don't really have an answer for it, but you're saying you're hoping that someone will find the missional community to buy into. If they don't, assuming the Sunday mornings and that kind of thing would be their thing, but how then would you see discipleship for that, those individuals?
Yeah,
what we're hard to say. But
yeah, we've got thoughts about how we would pick up newer people in the church, how people who are not quite sure where they fit yet. So there is conversation going about that. And maybe one of them is going to have a vision for that.
Yeah.
But actually, their vision is that they're going to be looking out for newer people and drawing people in. And the other thing we would say is that this is a vehicle that actually you may say, well, I just want to go in it so I can experience it. My vision might not quite be what that is, but for a while I'll go with it because I want to learn about this. One of the values is that it's all about multiplication. So the idea is that these groups over time will continue to multiply, and develop a network of missional communities across Chester. You know, so we'll start with 7, but my hope would be by 5 years into that we might be 20. A, because people are becoming Christians, and therefore the fact discipleship is growing and we're equipping more leaders then to take on more responsibility. But one of the values of Christian community is that they are low maintenance, and you know, fun and not too heavy, and you know, just part of life. And not necessarily a structure, but actually a vehicle. So in some ways, what we're looking is to get people to be living their lives very missionally and organic, you know, where actually we need a vehicle to help people move in that direction for a while. So that's why this thing about starting, stopping, reviewing, seeing how we're doing will be part of our process as a church over the next couple of years.
Can I just, one of these that this is a missional community that's run in Sheffield, and this one's run by a couple, and they call it Belong, and their vision is, the aim of Belong is to welcome people, disciple each other, pray and prophesy and have fun. We meet every 2 weeks to eat together and use a model of up, in and out with worship, socials and outreach. As simple as that.
Can I just say, I'm a missional community. I really missed it, you know, being here, I really missed that. So for me, this is really exciting. It's slightly more formalised than what we did, and that's fine. And the iPod is really challenging, to say. But we also, before we could start a group, we had to write a mission statement. So that was quite challenging, and we had to present it. And then it was really go for it. You know, there was also a hand on our back, encouraged to go for it. So really, I mean, the first thing we did was to tiny people's front gardens in Liverpool, one of these long Victorian terrace houses. And we were just making relationships with people through doing that. And then we did going out feeding the homeless, we did that. And then we had a room under Gladstones where we provided things like coats and washing equipment for the people on the streets. So we did that through the magazine, so we worked through that. So I'd done the same in Manchester. It's very much a bit of art, sort of model. But the added thing I would say is the iPod on the back here, which I find there was not a lot of accountability. You know, there was, if you looked at it, you could see that there was actually something missing. So I would encourage people to just sort of to go through it, because you know, to just be in relationship with people and to eat with people and to share, and you know, and sometimes we'd go to a group and we'd just drop everything because somebody landed in a really bad way, and we just love and pray for them. And you know, it works. It's really, and I still, I mean, I was up there on Sunday night visiting friends that went through tough times together, you know, really deep friends. And they were just talking about the mission stuff that they went out, and I was like, I miss this, I so miss it. Came back really quite upset, because I missed it. And so I'm so encouraged tonight, thank you. I'm really encouraged, but I'd rather challenge that.
I was, and I've been in one, and you know, it's the best thing. The guys in it have seen me all happy and jolly from the beginning, and then I've had evenings where I just didn't want to be there, but I've come away so blessed. Mm-hmm. And because I'm being discipled and I'm being accountable, I feel that almost gives me the, what's the word, not the right, I don't mean that, the okay permission to do that with the people within our missional community. So things I'm learning from the iPod, I'm then able to put into practice in the missional community. So yeah, it is challenging, but I want that. But I just love it, I get it. I don't know what I've been doing for the last 15 years, but this is working because we're now seeing fruit. I'm now seeing fruit, and that is just blowing me away. I can't keep up with my, if you want to call them all Christian, but the ones that are just there. So yeah, it's brilliant.
I just want to ask Ben, because Ben did prepare a little bit, just give us a bit of a zoom in that you've experienced and you've experimented a bit. Just to finish, because the time's almost gone.
Similar to a lot of people here, when I first heard the term missional community, didn't we know what we're talking about. But Mike Wilson put us onto a video that just showed missional community, and most of the video was people sitting around in their kitchen drinking coffee. And me and Lucy just thought, we can do that. So, and actually, as I look around the room, everyone in the room could lead missional community. And if not, do that be a real asset to that core team. There's not a lot that goes into it. It really struck a chord with me and Lucy because of what we've been doing working abroad in some different contexts and working cross-culturally in places where there is no church. Your mission is not inviting people to church because there is no church. So your mission is all about missional community. It's all about living alongside people, finding ways to connect, sharing your life with them in kind of natural rhythms. And then when you reflect back on what goes on in a lot of UK churches, it's kind of all about the events and the activities and about getting people to the Sunday morning. But then there's a disconnect between that and discipleship. And I experienced this myself very keenly being involved with Who Let the Dads Out. I've been doing that for more than 2 years now. Right from the start of doing that, I was really frustrated because I was like, this is great. We're getting 50-plus non-Christians in the building once a month. It's brilliant. They're coming in willingly and having a great time. If getting them in here is an end in itself, then brilliant. We're ticking all the boxes. But there's no discipleship. There's no discipleship in here. But now we're doing this missional community. I'm able to invite a few of the dads from that into our missional community. And we're connecting them with them. And suddenly, it's transformed my outlook of who the dads are. Because there's a discipleship vehicle, to use that word, a way that we can connect and go deeper. So we're really encouraged about that. The other thing that really stands out for me about being involved in the missional community is the fact that in our core group, we have a shared mission. Now, like many people, I've been going to a small group, life group, house group type things for like 10 plus years. And it's great, we get together, we study the Bible, we encourage each other, then we all go out to our individual missions. And there's something very tangibly significant for me about being in a missional community where we come together, we pray, we encourage you to do the up in and out, but then we're going out to our shared mission. We have a shared mission together that we're accountable to each other in, we're encouraging each other in, and that we're hopefully going to see fruit together. Our group is still very formative, so we're really... we're still working out the rhythms. It seems to be working well up to the point when Lucy went back to work in February. We're still then now trying to work out how that works. So it's flexible. You've got to make it work for you and your family and your friends because, like Amy and Tubby said, you don't want to add anything. It's not about that. It's just about doing what we always do, inviting in the supernatural and doing it alongside the Christians. My only question from the last reflecting session was, when can we start?
So, what I give you, obviously this is there's a lot of information, a lot of processing that we need to do, you need to do. If you've got questions that you want just to submit to us as we're processing the team, and we're going to be looking at different ways of taking this forward and talking to different individuals, but... there's a lot of stuff out there if you want to read more about it. I put something on one of the sheets about Alex Absalom, who I quoted a couple of weeks ago on Sunday, in terms of the process of people of peace. He's got a lot on his blog about mission communities. If you want to read, you know, he's got, I think it's like 10 things you do in a mission community, there's a start at 10. So that's a great place to start. Frontline Church in Liverpool is one of the churches that we're linking into. We're a little bit further ahead than us on this, so if you visit their website, they've got all their visions listed for different mission groups. They've got 45 mission communities across their church at the moment. So, yeah, and keep talking to us, the leadership team, myself, Sue, Ruth, Ed, Andrew, Shirley, just keep talking. Sam. So over the next 4 months, we'll just keep processing. So we've got another evening planned on the 25th, I think it is, of June. It's the last Wednesday of June, and we'll continue, you know, the final of these, and then so by then other things will happen as well, and I'll be contacting and talking to you about. Is that okay? Keep praying for us all. You know, a few people said to me recently, in terms of their reflection of what's happening right now, is that they're really up for an adventure. And that 4 or 5 will say that to me. And I feel like that this is a little bit of where we are as a church. Like, let's just do something a bit different. And I'll explain more about this. How we do it. We want to take everybody with us. We want to process it well. We haven't gone, you know, this is a little bit of flesh on the bones of stuff we've been talking about now for 18 months in different contexts and different ways. I know that people come in a different way, you know, different points on that journey. So, you know, we're not going to, never been about revolution, it's always about the evolution in terms of change. And I know change causes all sorts of response in people. Like, some people are really like, yeah, come on. And some people are like, whoa, I really want to see this before I'm going to buy into it. And we want to have people on the whole spectrum of that. So if you really want to see what it looks like, then maybe you need to talk to Ben and find out what his vision is and do it. Okay, so thanks so much for your time. Appreciate you coming. Please keep talking to us, keep praying.